Welcome to The Grow Show, brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in helping landscaping companies to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from Grinder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show. We've got some new sponsors of the show, folks. And the first one I want to talk to you about today is BobYard, the wonderful AI tool we use to help us bid work easily and profitably. Check it out, please. More about them later. Today's episode is chock full of great ideas to help you make more money this spring. It's a little deep, folks, but it's going to help you. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can even get an enhanced learning experience by watching us on YouTube. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since my team at Grinder Landscaping Company. We've had a long winter, ladies and gentlemen, tons of snow, tons of long hours, stress, fun, and victories. And through it all, I'm reminded of something very simple. No matter how much technology we have, this is still a people business. Your team is what makes the difference. Yes, AI, technology, all those things, they can help make your people more efficient, but how your people act towards your clients and towards each other tells me exactly how you are leading. I know we're leading well here at Grinder Landscaping Company. I'm grateful for our team and our leadership group, and I'm very bullish on 2026 because of them. All right, now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show. Spring success isn't decided in May, ladies and gentlemen. It's decided by what you notice or miss in March and April. Most owners and leaders look at lagging indicators. We're talking things that come in after everything's done, like revenue, profit, and backlog. Those tell you how you did. Today, I want to talk about leading indicators, not lagging indicators, leading indicators. Leading indicators are the signals that tell you early whether spring is going well or quietly slipping away. This isn't theory. This isn't hindsight. This is what I want you to watch right now, what to reinforce and what to correct before it costs you the seasons. We've got it broken down into a couple sections today. Section number one, the early indicators that tell the truth. Let's start with the first place spring always tells the truth. Production efficiency shows up first. All right. Many of us come in off a winter. Maybe we were doing snow. Maybe we weren't. It takes a while to get the kinks out. There's a lot of early warning signs that I see every year that cause me concern, and they should cause you concern. For example, crews consistently running long on hours on the work that they've done 100 times before. Why are these jobs that we've done before taking longer now? That should be a concern to you. Okay. That's one. Getting jobs completed, and they're getting done, but the margins are tighter than you expected. Why is that? And then we get this, where team leaders throw their hands up with some things. Your management team on the production side may even say this. They're blaming the weather, the traffic, the scope creep, whatever, broken down equipment. It's kind of hard to argue with all those. But in some ways, folks, you got to cut that noise out. A lot of that stuff, that's noise. We got to go beyond that. Now, I want to be honest. I know that stuff happens, okay? But when they show up every day, that's not bad luck. That's inefficiency. That's leaking out. We're not learning. We're not doing what we need to be doing. And so here's what I think you should be watching weekly. Revenue per hour. Revenue per labor hour. Watching that. Not monthly, weekly. You ought to be able to extract that. If you run one of the top programs, be it LMN or Aspire, you're going to be able to get that out of there easily. All right? Job duration versus estimate, not just total job cost, okay? Some of us just focus on the revenue. We got to focus on how long did that job take to do versus what we bid it for, okay? Your efficiency rating needs to be something that you're watching religiously. Maybe you're not using a piece of software. Maybe you're a startup and you're not even at a million yet. You ought to be at a bare minimum keeping a spreadsheet that says this job was bid for 100, it took 75. When the team goes out of there, they got to know what they need to do to beat the numbers. There has to be some narrative around that. And the thing about an efficiency rating, which is your budget hours over your actual hours, that's a narrative that everybody can understand. Even if you have H-2B workers, Spanish-speaking workforce, they know if the job was bid for 100 and it took 120, that's not any good. They know if the job was bid for 100 and it took 80, that's good. All right. So we have to have a narrative around the hours. If that's the only thing you hear me say today on the Grow Show, then that's fine that you're watching those hours. Because if you're not going to watch those hours, folks, spring's going to decide it for you. You're going to blow through the 90 or 120 days here that we get the year started off with, and you're going to be scratching your head saying, well, that stinks. I worked my tail off and I didn't make any money. And those of you listening that have multiple crews in the field, we have 30 crews in the field now. Can you imagine how bad it would be if 12 of those crews consistently do unprofitable work? I mean, we have to be mindful of that. Then there's the crew start times and the daily mobilization speed. I know, and this is like one of the telltale signs when I go into work with a landscaping company and I observe their morning rollout. A smooth morning rollout, ladies and gentlemen, is indicative of a very well-run company. You have got to be getting all the things in place that enable that daily mobilization speed to be fast, okay? Now, this is, I understand I'm throwing a lot at you, and some of you watching this are going to be able to handle this. Some of you should wait. But you got to be watching how fast those crews are going in the morning. This has materially changed performance for us. If you really want to see how we do it, please come to one of our field trips. I'm going to show you a little bit of a picture right now on the YouTube version of what our morning rollout looks like. This is something we can help you with. If you're trying to do this on your own, you've got to be looking at all the things that go into your morning rollout. Do the men and women have work tickets? Are they decided the night before? Are your trucks set up to where everybody's not walking in and out of the shop, sharing shovels, sharing wheelbarrows, a cluster you know what of that? You'll see our trucks. I'll show one of our trucks right now. That's why we run these trucks that, yes, they on the front end are expensive to put those EB beds on them and the EB eye packs and all those side saddle boxes and everything. But over the long run, those trucks pay for themselves by the things that the crews don't have to load and unload. So, you know, look at some of this stuff, folks. Here's the key point. Spring inefficiency never announces itself loudly. It leaks quietly. It's all these little things, okay? I'm going to throw on the YouTube version up now the dashboards that we use in Aspire. You know, two of the biggest things that we monitor here that our bonuses are paid out on is hours worked and on-site time. So if somebody conceivably wants to dilly-dally around here in the morning and they want to take the long way to the job because they think that's easier and they won't have to work as much, well, they can probably get away with that. We're going to catch them on a Zugo with the GPS, okay? But they're hurting themselves. They're affecting their bonus. So we'll delve more into bonus in a later conversation this year on the Grow Show. But right now, you got to be mindful that you sell time. And anything you can do to pick up time, you need to be doing, not just when you leave in the morning, but also when you come back at night. You know, if you come here and you watch us roll in at night, you'll see trucks stop. The way our roll in the evening goes, they drive by the team member parking lot. You'll see guys getting out of the trucks once they get on the property, walking to their cars because they're not needed anymore. And we're not going to let them hang around another 20 minutes and add another hour of inefficient time onto that that we're not getting any revenue for. So it starts with that stuff, folks. The next early warning signal area to talk about is the sales to production alignment handoff. We've talked ad nauseum about this. But a misalignment looks like sold work stacking faster than it's getting scheduled, sales closing jobs that operations still has questions about, maybe some of the material's not in, the work ticket isn't, you know, somebody couldn't take the work ticket and do it, it's missing a drawing, it's missing notes, but they get scheduled anywhere. Your team leaders are rescoping jobs once they're already in the field because they found out this isn't going to work. Folks, when this happens, one of two things is true. It's either estimating discipline is slipping or capacity's assumptions were overly optimistic. One of the two. And here's the spring lesson involved with this that I want you to hear clearly. If sales and operations drifts right now, the gap only widens as volume increases. If you're sideways with that right now, when you're smaller or when you're getting out of the gates, you honestly think it's going to get better later. Don't let jobs get sold and posted on the schedule that are not set up correctly. You know, one of my things that I like to say to a salesperson at a company that I'm working with is they'll say, well, I just sold a $100,000 job. And this is tough, but understand I'm a coach. And my response is, okay, that's good. I hope it doesn't cost you $120,000 to do it. And I like to hear what the response is. If they say, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, just because you sold a $100,000 job telling me that, I'm kind of concerned. Like, that's a big job. That's more opportunities for making a mistake. Well, what do you mean? Well, do you have all your costs accurately bid? Well, I think so. Do you have the hours estimated right? Well, I mean, I hope so. You never know, do you? Well, yeah, you do know. You do this by running a company that's using a data aggregator like LMN or Aspire that's helping you bid these things with historical data that lets you improve your chances for success. So the response I'd love to hear is, it's not going to cost us $120,000. How do you know that? Well, I've done a lot of this type work, and I know on hardscaping that we do this per square footage, and I've got the kit dialed in using Bob Yard to manage it and everything else. There's no way I'm off. We're going to make great money on this. Love the answer. But when you have this ambiguity and these answers where I hope so, or you're bidding things you've never done before, that's where spring disasters start. Let's morph into the metrics that matter in critical months, and let's talk metrics. I don't think spring requires more metrics. I think it requires fewer metrics, reviewed more frequently. If you're trying to measure everything, folks, you're measuring nothing. I mean, I'm most familiar with Aspire. We had a client in Aspire that proudly showed me the 200 dashboards that he has in Aspire that he's watching. And I looked at it and I said, you're nuts. I said, there is no way you know any of those 200 dashboards. I helped him whittle it down to 10. I think 10 is probably still too many, but that's just me. And we got to be focusing on the things that matter the most. Okay, we have 6 that we have down on our dashboards here. We'll put a picture of that up right now so you can see it on the YouTube version of what we measure. And here's what matters right now, folks, whether you have dashboards or you're just running the company with spreadsheets. Weekly labor efficiency, all right? How was our labor ratio there, our efficiency ratio? We bid 1,000 hours for the week and it took us 910. That's terrific. We bid 1,000 hours for the week and it took us 1,300. Oh gosh, what happened? Let's delve into that. We did a wrong takeoff. We'll get Bob Yard in place then, okay? All right, not monthly, weekly. And then weekly billed versus produced revenue. Where is that? The production days, the missed weather days. Something Seth has taught me here. We only had 2 rainout days last year in 2025, believe it or not. Yes, there were a lot of days. The guys went out, they got wet a little bit. It was a little bit of this. There's some things we do to mitigate that, like they do their greeniest training on their tablets when they're sitting out of the rain. And no, we're not as production, but some production is better than no production. And we have found that that works. So those missed production days, we try to limit that. We try to eliminate equipment breakdowns by doing preventative maintenance. For those of you that have visited us here on a field trip, you'll know most of our equipment is new. We're not into getting badges of honor into keeping, you know, a 1984 international truck on the road. That might be a great thing to have around here to run in a parade once in a while. We don't want that truck on the road every day. We're going to buy new, we're going to depreciate it, and we're going to know that it's reliable. So equipment breakdowns, that's another one of those little leaks that things just keep happening.
Are you still doing takeoffs with software from the prehistoric age? Sure, you could reach flow state counting thousands of tiny symbols and measuring endless lines, or you could let Bob Yard's AI handle it in minutes and reach flow state at the gym instead. Bob Yard automates takeoffs so you can bid faster, win more work, and spend more time developing real business relationships. Hundreds of contractors already use Bob Yard to win more bids with less effort. You should too. Go to bobyard.com to book a demo. Make sure you mention Grow Show when you sign up and get 1 month free.
You know, I had a good friend that ran a pool building business and he was super smart, but he did some things with equipment that wasn't smart. Like, I was out on his job and they had a backhoe and it was leaking hydraulic fluid. It got on the driveway of the place we were working at. He said, I'm going to have to clean that up. I'm like, don't you think you guys should get a new backhoe? He's like, yeah. He's like, we put $500 a month worth of hydraulic fluid in this thing. We ought to just go get a new one. You think you're saving money because you don't want to have a payment on a new backhoe? My friend didn't. He really wasn't saving money. And think about all the unintended consequences of having a backhoe that leaks hydraulic fluid on a driveway, or I don't know, it bursts all over the street and there's an environmentalist on the street and they call you into the EPA and it got in the water. I don't know, all these crazy things. The equipment breakdowns, fix that. The staffing gaps, you know, are you good there? Are you having trouble? Did you not get your H2B workers? Do you maybe want to try to align the fact that you can get a bunch of college students from May to August 15th? Maybe you stack on a lot of work there and try to flex up that way. You know, where are you going? strong operators look at these things every week, folks. They're looking at their efficiency rating. They're looking at the missed production days. They're looking at equipment. They're looking at the staffing gaps. They're talking to your team or whoever does the hiring and saying, hey, we need more people. Here's where we're at. They're doing this, and they're doing it the same day, the same format with the team. There's no surprises. And here's the mindset shift that you need to go through. Spring metrics are not just about judgment. They're the facts, okay? They are the correction speed. The faster you can see this stuff ahead of time with these leading indicators, the cheaper it is to fix. You know, my friend Frank Mariani often tells a story about how a report card's really not any good. And he would tell the story of beating his dad to the mailbox to get the report card. And then when his dad would ask where the report card would be, he'd say he didn't know. And Frank said that gave him enough time to get a couple of plates put in the back of his pants because he knew he was going to get a spanking. Frank's humorous recollection of his report cards is akin to a report card for a business. It's done. There's nothing you can do. That's why lagging indicators like financial statements, they're great for long-term fixes and for strategizing, but you got to have leading indicators, your early warning lights on your dashboards that point you to where the problems are, that tell you where the smell is emanating from, that we've got to go in and fix. The next section here to talk about is training to prioritize with your crews. Spring is not your training season, folks, but some training is non-negotiable. This isn't the time to be slowing everybody up. We're on go. But here's the only training that actually pays off during peak season. First, job setup and daily planning. How the day starts determines how it ends. So I would be taking time to show folks, have maps on your job sites of where you are to park to work with the truck. If you park the truck, if you get permission from, say, you're working in the backyard of a neighbor, maybe you give that neighbor a $50 gift card and ask if you would mind if they backed the truck down their driveway so that you could mulch or so that you could clean out the backyard and save steps. You might make a friend. Look at all the labor you're going to save. It's thinking through this stuff ahead of time, folks. That's why it's so important to be in sync and looking through this stuff and getting in the flow. Clear expectations before the tools and the crews hit the ground. The second thing here to talk about is team leader communication. Crew level clarity, folks, beats company-wide messaging every time. Every team leader should be able to answer this simple question. What does a good day look like? What does my ideal day look like? I have found even in my own company, there's some hesitation to kind of, maybe there's a perception that you're baby and coddling team leaders by telling them what you want to do. Look, man, you know what Marty's opinion on this? The world according to Marty, wham. You know what I think about that? I don't care. This is my company. You're my team leader. There's a way I want you to work. Now, if you have a better idea on how we can make this workflow better, that's fine. I'll hear you out. But right now, this is what a good day looks like, and you're going to go do it. And you might say, gosh, Marty, well, that's militant. Well, let me tell you something. If you're a pilot for Delta Airlines and you think you have a better way of landing the plane than what's in the manual, you're going to get fired. You don't do stuff like that. So I think we have to take the seriousness of what we're doing here and actually train our people on what a good day looks like and then expect them to operate like that. Third, quality standards under speed. That can be a problem. The spring pressure can expose those shortcuts. We rework this during peak season is margin poison, right? Trying to fix all this and scrap this right in the middle of the run is a bad idea. So what would I avoid if I were you this spring? Long classroom sessions. For God's sakes, no. We're out to work. A new system or a platform that you're going to implement right now, anything that pulls the crew out of rhythm and doing the job, don't do it. Here's the rule of thumb, maybe the most important point to make in this entire episode of The Grow Show. Train for consistency, not excellence, during peak season. Get them doing most of it right, and you'll find victory in the long run. Next point to talk about, the ever difficult situation of client communication that prevents spring fires. Most spring client issues are not operational problems, folks. They're informational problems. And here's what I think a proactive communication can look like. Seasonal kickoff reminders about schedule volatility and weather impact. Don't be promising days. Promise a week or a window. Be careful about that. So clear expectations around that. Clear expectations around how and when communication happens. Okay, when we're going to talk to you, how this is going to work. And then I think a high impact habit to share with you is go to clients and say things to them before they start wondering about them. They're calling for rain. We're supposed to be done Friday, but if it rains tomorrow, Mrs. Jones, there's no way we're going to get your lawn seeded. So I just want to prepare you for that. You will always be ahead of doing that. Okay. I'm recording this just coming off a pretty big snowstorm. And I'll be honest with you, it was difficult. And we tried to be proactive with our communication, but we still got tons of clients. They don't read our emails. They didn't listen to us. They literally seem to think we should be out there with tarps catching the snow. We tried to make it clear. And for our best clients, they understood it. So it was worth the try, but it's just tough, okay? And let me tell you, if you're getting clients checking in more than usual, if your office is fielding status calls instead of service requests, if your team is spending more time calming than managing and doing all this, you probably got to get more proactive with your communication. I think clients tolerate delays far better than they do silence. Let them know what's going on, have the tough conversations, and go for it. Challenges that might show up early this year, and as we get towards the end here of this episode of The Grow Show, I think this is where spring really tells the truth. And here's what we're seeing early this year. That labor's showing up, all right, but they're just not fully productive. The new hires need more time than planned. They don't know how you do business. They're not in the flow. At their old company, they went to gas stations to fill up. Now they do it at your place. At the old company, nobody said anything about thinking about the job tomorrow. Now they've got to fill their truck up at night in your gas tanks that are on site. They've got to go through their work. Give some people some leeway, all right? Put yourself in their shoes. Sales pipeline's looking healthy, but fulfillment is feeling strained. Like maybe we're having trouble getting materials. Maybe we're having trouble closing these jobs. And I think what happens is owners end up getting stuck between helping operations and protecting strategy. Like we had a strategy. A strategy is what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. We made all these promises to ourselves in 2025, and now we get into the heat of the run and we're finding there's some weaknesses in that. You got to kind of stay to the strategy, and you got to be the voice of reason and stick with the things, not scrap programs, okay, that you worked on over the winter to do it. But you also got to be empathetic and listen to operations to a degree. But the danger zone, I think, is like, well, we'll wait till things settle down, assuming that volume will fix efficiency. Those small misses that you're missing right now, they can compound into big problems. If you have on your maps where the men and women are supposed to park their truck, and that you want to tarp down under the tailgate, and that we back our way out of beds, whatever those processes are, and you go on site and you see maybe it's 30% of the crews aren't doing that, and maybe you think, well, I've heard Marty say before, like, you know, a baseball player's if he bats 300, he's unsuccessful 70% of the time, and he still makes all that. Yeah, that's true for baseball, okay? But if I saw 10 of my 30 crews out doing things wrong, I'm going to be ticked. I know how bad that is. We can't, one or two, okay, we can work on that on the side. 10, it's company-wide, a reinforcement of what we're doing, because I know these small misses compound into big problems. So let's reframe this as we wrap it up. Spring doesn't break companies. It just reveals what wasn't tight enough, and you have a chance here to make a difference. As we wrap out this episode of The Grow Show, thank you for joining us each week. We've got a lot of listen to the end, folks. Thank you. I think the hardest part of spring, it's not the work. It's thinking clearly under pressure, okay? That's why it's so important for the owners and leaders to take time to boss their calendar, not let their calendar boss them, and to be able to think clearly under pressure. Early indicators are easy to miss when you're inside that machine, when you're in the run. It's very difficult. That's why strong leaders don't wait for results. They respond to signals. They look at the early warning indicators because they know the earlier you correct those things that are off the tracks, the cheaper it is. I know this for sure, folks. Spring rewards leaders who notice it early and act decisively. We hope we helped you in a small way this week. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know. Take them out right now and text it to them. Thanks again for Bob Yard for joining us here on The Grow Show as a sponsor, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and visit growgroupinc.com for more resources to help your landscaping company succeed. We'll talk to you next week.